It is a blessing to have you once again today. I'm so excited to see Christiana today. And I hope that whenever I see you, I'll be very happy. And I hope that you keep coming on Sunday for worship. And thank you for visiting with us, some of our friends. Thank you for coming and staying with us today. We have been studying from the book of the Gospel of Matthew. And today we are going to talk about some of the very important issues we need to know about from chapter 12. Jesus was targeted and rejected by his own people in chapter 11, and his rejection comes from his contemporaries, as we have studied before. But despite the fact that he was rejected by his own people, he gave them his personal invitation at the end of chapter 11. Now we are coming to chapter 12 to study, and this is a very interesting chapter. There are a lot of things we need to ponder on, and I hope that you'll be able to pay your utmost attention to the Word of God. The first verse in chapter 12 indicates that this particular event we are going to look into this morning is about controversies over the Sabbath day keeping. When there is no understanding of the truth of God, obviously controversies do happen. And even though we are sincere and genuine Christians, oftentimes controversies can be taken place in our midst because of our maybe immaturity or our temperament and so on. So it seems that even amongst the Bible-believing people, controversies are a part of their Christian experiences. But of course, this controversy we are going to look into this morning is a different kind. It interested me to check the occurrence of the word Sabbath in the Gospel of Matthew. There are altogether 10 occurrences of the word Sabbath in this book in 9 verses. Out of 10 occurrences, 8 occurrences are found in this chapter, chapter 12. And the remaining 2 occurrences are in Matthew chapter 24, verse 20 and 28. And those references do not have anything to do with Sabbath day keeping controversies. So those 2 verses are not our concern today. Then we may say that Matthew chapter 12 is truly a chapter about the Sabbath day keeping controversies. How to keep the day of the Lord holy. And by the way, we have been studying this particular issue in many different occasions. I have taught you from the Shorter Catechism questions on Saturdays, and some other occasions I think we have dealt with this particular issue so many times. And so my perspective or the focus of my message is not going to be given to any particular way of keeping the day of the holy, but some other issues based on this particular context this morning. There are 2 incidents over Sabbath day controversies in the passage we have read just a few moments ago. However, if we look into the text very carefully, basically both incidents are related to a question about how to keep the day, the Sabbath day, honorably. Or more specifically, we may find an expression that may give us some ideas behind all these controversies concerning the Sabbath keeping. There are 2 verses we need to look into, and those 2 verses are in fact in, first of all, verse 2. Let me begin with verse 2. Verse 2 says, "But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." And there are a couple of parallel passages we can find from other Gospels. Mark chapter 2, verse 24 says, "And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful?" Luke chapter 6, verse 2 says, "And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day?" The other verse is verse 10. Verse 10 says, "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him?" Mark chapter 3, verse 2 is a parallel passage. It says, "And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him." And Luke chapter 6 verse 7 is another parallel passage. It says, "And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him." So far, these two portions of the scriptures are about the questions and attitudes of the Pharisees and the scribes toward Jesus and his disciples. Before I move on to some more observations, I think I need to mention of a few more verses from Jesus' responses to them. And all those verses which I'm going to read will be related to our discussions in the latter time. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 4, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread. We are talking about David's experience here. David entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Well, it has been repeated in Mark chapter 2, verse 26, by saying how David went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And another parallel passage is Luke chapter 6 verse 4, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also unto them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone. Matthew chapter 12 verse 12 says, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And you can find some other parallel passages from Mark chapter 3 verse 4 and Luke chapter 6 verse 9. Well, all of these verses concerning the question and answer in relation to Sabbath day keeping are very important to our study this morning. So let me begin with my first point. Here, the key of the controversies is of legitimacy. What is it? Well, in order to be able to understand the whole issue, first, we need to look into the passages and made a few observations from all those passages of the scriptures we have read. So let me find a few points from those verses which were already read. First of all, there was an incident that the disciples of Jesus plucked the ears of grains in the field because they were hungry. And it happened to take place on a Sabbath day, and some of those Jewish leaders were able to find it out. While Matthew and Mark passages are raising questions to Jesus, Luke mentions that actually the Pharisees are asking a question to his disciples. So by looking at all these passages, we may say that they are questioning both Jesus and his disciples over the matters of the Sabbath day keeping. Maybe they thought that Jesus was such a bad influence on his disciples, and he was a culprit to instigate other people to break the Sabbath day keeping holily. Or at least they thought he was accountable for their violations of the Sabbatical law. And let us find a hidden truth from silence first before we move into more detailed facts and truth. A hidden truth from silence. It is not a question to both parties, Jesus and the Jewish leaders, that Sabbath day must be honored and observed. It was not a question in their mind that the fourth commandment must be honored and kept. We must be able to see and say that the key of the controversies is not of the institution, but of its observation or application. It is not about whether they should keep the Sabbath day holy or honorably or not. That was not a question we are talking about here. Though there were some scoffers between Jesus and the religious leaders, none of them argued that Sabbath day observance was ridiculous or it was very unreasonable, therefore we must repeal or we must cancel the fourth commandment. That was not the point at all. In fact, underlying truth is that yes, we want to keep the fourth commandment. We want to keep the day of the Lord holy. But what is the way that we should do in order to honor that particular day? We need to know that their controversies were based on their common understanding that the Sabbath day must be sanctified. Therefore, these controversies should not be used to dismiss or downplay the importance of the Sabbath day observance. You know, some people are talking about Christian liberty, Christian freedom, even on the day of the Lord, and as a result, they think that the day of the Lord is just one of the many days, and they just dismiss any sort of idea to sanctify the day of the Lord holy. But behind this controversy, there was a firm belief that the fourth commandment must be honored and kept, observed. The key word of both events we have seen in the given passages is, I'm not sure whether you were able to notice that whenever I read some of the, you know, those verses, I gave certain sense of, certain degree of emphasis on particular word. It is lawful. The word lawful. The Greek word for it is lawful is just one word. And sometimes it can be translated as it is permitted, or it is possible, or it is proper. So what Jesus was challenged by the Jewish religious leaders was something like this. Is it lawful? Is it legitimate? Is it permissible? Is it possible? Is it proper for us to do this or that on the Sabbath day? So they were questioning about Jesus' understanding of the Sabbath day keeping concerning certain things. On that particular day to be done. Is it lawful? Is it permitted? Is it possible? Is it proper? This word is used 7 times in the Gospel of Matthew, and we find 3 times in chapter 12, and the remaining 4 occurrences are throughout the Gospel. For example, Matthew chapter 14, verse 4 says, "For John the Baptist said unto Herod, King Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have her." So here, John the Baptist spoke to King Herod about his adulterous relationship with his brother's wife. It is not lawful. It is not possible. It is not proper. It is not permissible. Matthew 20 verse 15 says, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good?" Here, an employer spoke to his employees who were complaining about him giving the same amount of wages even to those latecomers. And the employer says, "Yes, I have given to those people with the things that I have." And he says, "Is it not lawful for me?" That's the word. Matthew 12, 22, verse 17 says, "Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" Matthew 27 verse 6 says, "And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood." It is about the money Judas Iscariot brought back. This money he received from those leaders for the price of his betrayer of Jesus. And they said, "It is not lawful for us to take that money into the temple treasury, because that is the blood money." If we examine all these verses, we may conclude that all of them are related to moral, ethical, or religious issues based on Jewish laws. Therefore, we also may say that the Pharisees were challenging Jesus here about moral and religious duties and responsibilities of man in terms of keeping the day of the Lord holy. If we go one more step further, we will find that their concern is about the ways to fulfill moral and religious obligations of man in order to keep, by keeping the fourth commandment accurately and precisely. It is about the Sabbath day. Therefore, on its surface, the intention behind these Pharisees and scribes' questions, or behind their challenging questions to Jesus and his disciples, appears to be innocent. Religious, it was a biblical question, challenge, theological challenge and question, and even spiritual challenge and question. They were concerned about the correct manners of keeping the fourth commandment. Their desire was to keep the day of the Lord holy, and they wanted to keep the fourth commandment without making any errors. It reminds us that good intention itself alone cannot always justify what we are doing. It also must remind us that good religious motives and motives themselves will not lead us to practice right kind of religion either. It also needs to remind us that zealous and energetic pursuits for religious ideas based on certain interpretations of the Bible and convictions may lead us wrong conclusions and wrong practices. In fact, all of them are implicated in the cases of the Pharisees in this particular passage of the scriptures we are studying. They did not challenge Jesus and his disciples for any secular reasons or worldly reasons. They wanted to bring out the scriptural truth by challenging Jesus and his disciples. They wanted to prove themselves that they are truly keeping the laws of God. So on its surface, at the first glance, it seems that their desire was quite noble and spiritual and biblical. If the Pharisees were not religious people, they would not have brought such wrong charges against Jesus. If they were not spiritual people, in a general sense, okay, without defining their spirituality in terms of biblical sense, in a general sense, it seems that they are good people. If the Pharisees were not religious and spiritual people, I'm sure that they did not want to bring up such a contentious issue against Jesus. All these seemingly innocent motives and desires brought forth deadly consequences eventually upon themselves. Their hearts were filled with anger. Why they were filled with anger? Because they were religious. Because of their religious zeal and enthusiasm, by keeping the laws of God according to their convictions and interpretations, when what Jesus was doing and what disciples of Jesus were doing was against their conviction, against their interpretation, immediately their hearts were filled with anger. And this anger was so much and so big, and they wanted to kill Jesus in the name of the commandment of God. It is really a spiritual irony. Their question is this: is it lawful to do this or that on Sabbath day? And this very question misled them even to hate the maker of the law. It must warn all of us to examine our hearts and our religion. Christian religion can be deadly, whether you recognize it or not, if we do not understand it correctly and practice it correctly. Your and my Christian faith and conviction can be deadly if we do not learn and understand what we ought to believe correctly. A few weeks ago, we studied that the purpose or the goal of the commandments is to love our neighbors ourselves. But the careful studies and observances of the commandment of God by the Pharisees produced deadly hatred and anger, which is exactly the opposite effect of the true religion of God. And so, what was the purpose of the commandments of God? Well, God says, the Lord Jesus says that we are supposed to love our God and love our neighbors. And here we go. Those people who wanted to keep the commandments of God began to fill their hearts with hatred and anger. Is it possible that such a thing do happen? Can we sin while we are set fire with religious zeal for Christian faith and Christian religion? Yes, we can. if the Pharisees consider themselves as being ignorant of the laws of God, they would not have been misguided. In their case, the understanding of their religion was deadly. We may make exactly the same mistakes today. If I translate the question the Pharisees raised unto Jesus and his disciples into our day's language, I may say, is it biblical? Is it possible? Well, the question itself is not wrong. We have to check everything by asking the question, is it biblical? However, the way that we understand what is biblical has to inevitably lead us into biblical interpretations. Some people may not have sound understanding of the scriptures, but insist on their own views, which can be very deadly. Pharisees, what did they study? Oh, they studied the law. Then as a result, they brought out, they came up with some sort of interpretations in order to practice what they have been studying. And as a result, because of their interpretations, because of their convictions, they wanted to kill Jesus. Religious conviction can be very deadly. If that conviction is not well grounded in the truth of God and obviously in right spirit. Second, there was an incident that Jesus healed a man on Sabbath day. This incident also gives us some things to consider. Verse 10 tells us that the motive behind the questions directed to Jesus and his disciples by the Pharisees and the scribes was to accuse him and his disciples. It shows us that the holy and sacred word of God and his commandments can be misused and abused. It means that even seemingly sincere and genuinely spiritual people may misuse God's word. They may quote the scriptures and they will challenge other people. Is it biblical? What you are doing is biblical? You know, that is a kind of challenge. In other words, we cannot be truly spiritual and God-loving and fearing people simply by stressing on the importance of God's word. Pharisees, the reason that they wanted to kill Jesus was because they emphasized that they loved the laws of God, right? Even though there was a misunderstanding. We all need to see that the Pharisees' primary concern was neither secular nor worldly, but spiritual and religious, which were related to the things of God. They were very upset because Sabbath day was belonged to God and it must be honored in the way that everybody honors God on that day by doing certain things, by not doing certain things. And Pharisees felt that Jesus violated all those regulations. As a result, they were furious. What they wanted to do was to obey God's commandment precisely and correctly, but they were still wrong. It indicates that the most important thing is to have right heart attitude when we deal with the things of God and to remember the greatest commandment of God, which is to love God with all our hearts and might and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We have seen many people and groups consumed by their religious zeal, which has not resulted in loving their neighbors as themselves. In fact, you know, I must honestly confess of my sins before you. You know, all I'm doing every day is read the Bible, analyze the scriptures, and try to find some meanings out of those texts and so on. I'm studying. And as a result, I do have a certain level of understanding of the scriptures, I guess. And I have been able to draw out a certain conclusions from the scriptures and so on. And I look at the church people. And if what they are living and what they are doing, what they are practicing, what they are believing is not up to the standard I have set, then I tend to be very upset. And why they cannot believe it? Why they cannot practice what I'm trying to teach them? And so I can be easily furious and I can be easily angry. But that is not the purpose of the studying of the scriptures. In fact, what Jesus is saying is that the purpose of the commandments of God is to love, to help us, enable us to love our neighbors as ourselves. So the more I study, I should be able to love even more. And that part was missing from the Pharisees. And sometimes that part is missing from my own life. And sometimes that part is missing from a lot of Bible-believing, fundamental, very conservative and evangelical Christians and Christian leaders. The Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes were very fervent and energetic for their religious and spiritual causes. All they cared about seemed to be God's truth and His honor. They desired to obey God and His commandments. However, obviously their heart attitude was not right. And this heart attitude issue cannot be and should not be lightly understood. It is because it is closely related to the key word of the whole passages. Is it lawful? We also need to know that the question, is it lawful, itself is not wrong. We should be able to see that even Jesus used the word in order to answer his challengers. Basically, Jesus complimented their lack of understanding of the laws of God by saying, yes, it is lawful to do or to do this or not to do that or something like that. The question, is it lawful, itself is neither sinful nor evil. The Lord speaks about the do's and don'ts of Sabbath laws in the Old Testament. Jesus is not talking about lawlessness as he makes rebuttals to his opponent's arguments. The key of the controversy is found in the spirit of the question, is it lawful? And there was no loving part, affection part in the hearts of the Pharisees, but the question was, is it lawful? How often we do ask the same question, is it lawful? And if someone's practices are different from our convictions, and immediate question is it biblical? Is it lawful? And if we say to those questions no in a negative sense, then immediately we begin to build up some sort of the spirit of hatred and enmity, which is not right. And so the key is of its legitimacy. Is it lawful behind all these controversies? The issue, secondly, is of understanding. We have seen that the key idea behind all these controversies is hiding in the question, is it lawful? This very idea is about how we should understand the commandments of God, including the Sabbath day keeping. We want to honor the Lord by keeping the fourth commandment. I elaborate the points from three different angles or perspectives. Number one, Jewish legalistic practices. Number two, interpretations of God's commandments. Number three, the edification of our conscience. First, in order to understand the background of this controversy, we need to know how the Jews have kept their Sabbath days. I want you to know that all the practices and minute commandments related to Jewish Sabbath day keeping was originated from their holy desire to honor the Sabbath days, which is honorable, in fact. Their desire is to glory the Sabbath, Lord's Sabbath. Thus, the Jews are required, even today, amongst the Orthodox Jewish people, to luxuriate the Sabbath. Let me give you a few examples. They are even told to economize the whole week to save enough money for the Sabbath meals, because this is the most glorious day throughout the week. Therefore, this is the day of your glory and enjoyment as well. If necessary, a person should even borrow money on a pledge in order to provide for the Sabbath. That much they honor the Sabbath day. They are exhorted to wash the face, hands and feet in warm water, and if possible, they should bathe the whole body in warm water to keep Sabbath honorable. They are also told to wear fine clothes on the Sabbath. I think some of these lessons, you know, we Christians must learn. There are very meticulous instructions about the use of ovens or the ways to keep a pot of coffee warm without causing them to work. Sabbath rules are also applied to the non-Jews. Here is an interesting code of Jewish law. It is said that they must not board the sea-going vessel the 3 days preceding the Sabbath. That is from Wednesday onwards. But if we are bound on a sacred mission, we may embark even on a Friday, which is the beginning of the Sabbath day. If we translate it to our terms or our aircraft boarding, we are not allowed to fly on the Lord's Day for pleasure or business purposes, but only for sacred duties. There are also minute rules about lighting candles on the Sabbath day. Here is another example about Sabbath day prayers. Just in case, they do have certain kinds of prayers they have to repeat throughout the week, during the weekdays, but on the Sabbath day there is a special prayer. But by mistake, somehow a person repeated a prayer which is not belong to the Sabbath day prayer, then that is a bad thing. And in fact, their rule says something like that. Something like this. It is a bad omen for him, and he should examine his deeds during the coming week and do penance. There are words to say over bread during Sabbath meals and ways to cut the bread. It is forbidden to abstain from food on the Sabbath day, because this is the best day that God has given to you for your rest. Therefore, you are not supposed to skip the meals on Sabbath day. You may like it. It is forbidden to store away victuals in any wrapping on the Sabbath. It is forbidden to squeeze fruit to make a beverage, and so on. The reason that I'm giving you all these examples is because we need to understand the background of the Jewish mind concerning the Sabbath day regulations. Unless all of these rules are kept perfectly, they consider that they have violated the sanctity of the Lord's Sabbath. In order not to violate the Holy Sabbath, they have made lots of regulatory rules and regulations, and every act and every deed on the Sabbath has to be scrutinized by them, and everything has to be checked whether it is lawful to do those things on the Sabbath day or not. Then our natural question is, where are all those very minute details coming from? From this question, we move into the second point, which is about the interpretations of God's commandments. So from Jewish point of view, they have already made all those regulations and rules and so on. So if anyone breaks any one of those regulations, that person has violated the Sabbath day rule and the sanctity of the Lord's fourth commandment. Therefore, that person is guilty. And where are all these things are coming from? Well, basically, coming from their interpretations. The Jewish understanding of the Sabbath day observance was based on their interpretations of the commandments. I must say that interpretations are necessary. Without having interpretations, we may not be able to understand a lot of things. God's Word. We do interpret the Scriptures. In fact, interpretations are necessary in order to understand the given text by God Himself. For example, when the fourth commandment exhorts us to keep the day of the Lord holy, we also have many questions, including, then how should we keep the day of the Lord holy? What is the best way that we can honor the day of the Lord? Or what should we do not on the Lord's day so that we will not break the Lord's day sanctity? There are clear instructions about the do's and the don'ts on the Sabbath day in the Old Testament. But there are things still requiring our careful thoughts. From the passage we are studying, we can find some of those questions we may have to think about. First of all, is it a violation of the Sabbath rule if we take some corns and rub them to eat on the Sabbath day? Even if we happen to be very hungry and we are walking through the cornfield. So that was the question. The Old Testament Old Testament actually says that we are not supposed to work or labor on the Sabbath day. But here is a question. While we are walking through the cornfield on the Sabbath day and we are very hungry and corns are ready for our consumption and we take some of those grains and we rub them and peel them and so on, we ate some of them. Is that a part of work or labor on the Sabbath day? That requires an interpretation. The second question is this. Is it lawful to heal the sick on the Sabbath? So here is a person who is dying, he's very sick, he's terribly ill, he requires some medical helps. And if we want to help the person, then obviously we may have to carry him to the hospital, or someone has to wait for the patient in the hospital, and nurses are there, and medical people are there, transportation may be required, and so on. So is it lawful to heal the sick on the Sabbath? So the question is, how should we interpret the word work, labor, in relation to the fourth commandment? So interpretation is required. Obviously, there are no direct commandments mentioned in the Bible related to those particular and very specific situations. Therefore, people have to interpret the commandment in order to see whether they are constituted of any violation of the fourth commandment or not. This very act of interpreting the fourth commandment or the commandment of God naturally will lead us to think about what we are allowed to do or not to do on the Sabbath day. It all depends on the interpretations of the commandment. That is why you may hear from the Jewish people saying that Rabbi so-and-so said this, and Rabbi such-and-such said this, and so on. Oftentimes, in their conversations or even in their writings, in order to support their views and their practices, they quote the words from rabbis, because rabbis were the ones who gave them interpretations. Thus, interpretations are varied from person to person. People take their sides and form their convictions, and in interpretations will eventually form or formulate the kind of our conscience as well. These interpretations will determine what is lawful and what is not lawful. It is not a small matter to talk about certain things to be lawful or not, because we are talking about biblical truth and we are talking about biblical practices. It is because there are to be consequences against the things that are not lawful. For example, we may have certain interpretations for Sabbath day keeping, and interpretations are becoming a part of our practices. And if we do not follow those interpretations, and as a result, we are violating any part of those regulations we have imposed upon ourselves, then we feel that we have violated God's word, and what we are doing is very unbiblical, and we feel so terrible and bad. Not only that, sometimes we may judge other people who do not follow our interpretations. We have to be reminded that the religious leaders of Jesus' days were furious about Jesus because from their perspectives, because from their interpretations, he broke the laws of God. As a result, he became blasphemous, which was worthy of death. They believed that Jesus was guilty of death. They thought what Jesus had done was unlawful, which means, in our today's terms, what he did was unbiblical and theologically unsound. The sentiment is well implicated in Matthew 12, verse 7. Hear what Jesus says. Jesus said this: "But if we had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' ye would not have condemned the guiltless." Here, ye are the Pharisees and the scribes, and the guiltless is Jesus. So what the Pharisees and the scribes did to Jesus was to condemn him. Because of the commandment, then their perspectives and practices, then their interpretations, all of them are mixed up together, and they brought condemnations upon Jesus by the Pharisees and the scribes. They condemned Jesus guilty of breaking the fourth commandment. Isn't it a remarkable development? Thirdly, it naturally leads us to think about the validity and legitimacy of their interpretations. Okay, we understand their desire, but how about their interpretation? How did they know that they were right and Jesus and his disciples were terribly wrong and they deserve to be condemned? What was the cause and ground of their accusations against Jesus? Of course, the primary cause and ground was the interpretations given by their religious teachers or rabbis. Then our question is, how is this matter of interpretation related to the very actions and attitude of the enemies of Jesus? Okay, interpretations were given, and how those interpretations activated and motivated the Pharisees and the scribes to take actions against Jesus, even by condemning him or condemning them? What happened? Well, the answer is, once after teachings are given as a truth, interpretations are given, the ways to honor God and all those teachings are given, all religious people will be educated in such ways, and eventually their conscience is going to be molded accordingly. So whatever teachings and lessons they have received from their fathers, from their rabbis and teachers and so on, their views are being formed, and those views are forming their religious conscience. So as a result, they are so convinced by the persuasions from the rabbis. Thus, if anyone does not follow the prescribed ways according to the teachings of the rabbis or those interpretations, he's being marked as a black sheep, following and keeping those minute matters according to the prescribed ways by the rabbis are deeply engraved in their conscience. What their conscience requires becomes a religious duty. By now, what God has to say becomes a distant truth, because what is immediate is the interpretations given by the rabbis and religious teachers about what God has said. So interpretations replaced the commandment of God. Eventually, interpretations overtake the authority of God's command itself, God's commandment itself. Their consciences are being sealed and molded by the interpretations of the rabbis. This built-in conscience becomes a dictator of their thoughts, values, and understanding, and it becomes their religious conscience. It also actually happens to us. The religious conscience of the Pharisees was formed by the teachings of men, and it was very strong, and it was very adamant, even to be willing to take Jesus to Calvary's cross. The most difficult people to teach in my ministries over the years are the people who believe that they have learned and understood the scriptures. When issues are coming up, before I could even make a conclusion, they refute what I believe. Sometimes my teaching. They come with pre-made conclusions over teachings in the Bible and do not want to learn anymore. They think they know. They think they do not need any more training, any more learning, teaching. Before they are taught, they refuse to learn. As a result, they will never learn. And they will have circular reasoning, because conclusion is already in themselves. Whatever comes up, conclusion is right there. So everything has to be justified according to his own conclusion. If a person feels that he does not know, he still has a hope to be able to learn. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. If you cannot see, then you should be able to given an opportunity to be able to see. But now you say you see. That's why you cannot see. That's the meaning of it. But if a person feels he knows, he will never be able to learn anything. Their religious conscience is already formed in certain ways. Only attitude such people have is to make judgments against others who may have different convictions and different conclusions. It is very sad. Let us know that the Pharisees thought they knew better than Jesus, and they thought they obeyed the commandment of God. They thought their conscience was very clean. When Jesus demonstrated his understanding of the commandment, they were deeply offended and ready to strike at him. Their religious conscience even took him to Calvary. A fearful fact is that they did all of these things with a clean conscience. that scares me. Their conscience urged them to do so. And it is not wrong. It is not wrong to have a firm conscience, biblically oriented. I'm not against the conviction. We have to have convictions and beliefs. And we got to have some sort of religious principles and spiritual principles based on the scriptures. And nothing wrong to have religious conscience and biblical convictions. I hope that none of us considers it to be wrong to have any religious conviction or molded conscience by the teachings of the scriptures. It is a good thing to have it. Faith implicates conviction. Unless we are convinced, we may not believe. Therefore, being convinced by something is not wrong by itself. But it is wrong only when it is convinced by wrong things. Here is a difficulty and danger in our biblical faith. The Pharisees were wrongly convinced that they were right and Jesus was wrong over the commandment of God. That is a really fearful thing, you know. They were dealing with the scriptures. They were dealing with God's commandment. They were dealing with religious affairs, with religious zeal. However, they were wrong. They were wrong. Their wrongs were so bad, even to be against Jesus himself. It means that it is possible that we are convinced wrongly, though we read and study the righteous teachings of God. The commandment of God is good and spiritual, however, the heart of man is imperfect. Thus, this lesson urges us to depend on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And thus, we may be able to appreciate the teachings from Ephesians chapter 4, why Christ gave his gifts to his church. And his gifts are apostles, evangelists, prophets, and pastors and teachers. All those teaching offices God has given to his churches. The spiritual things are to be discerned only by the spiritual people. And that's why we need Bible teachers for us who can sincerely, genuinely, and by all means biblically able to teach us from the scriptures. Then answer is from the Lord. This is another interesting point. We must not forget that Jesus never downgraded the importance of the Sabbath day or the fourth commandment. He simply corrected the wrong views or wrong interpretations and wrong convictions. Let us see how Jesus answered the challenges. I think these challenges, Jesus' answers are very fascinating ones. First of all, he goes back to the Bible. You know, the Pharisees and scribes were the people of the scriptures, they thought. The Mosaic law was their kind of lifeline. The Pharisees accused him of profanity by breaking the commandment of God. And so in response, Jesus here answers to them. Why don't you read chapter 12, verse 3? Would you like to read Matthew chapter 12, verse 3? Let's read verse 3. Verse 3. But he said unto them, and verse 5, or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? I mean, did you find some interesting points from those answers given by Jesus Christ? Isn't it interesting that Jesus actually showed them that they did not know the Bible? In fact, in the first part of verse 3, Jesus says, have ye not read what David did? You know, so these Jewish religious leaders are bringing the biblical truth to Jesus, and they accused Jesus for breaking God's law. And Jesus said in verse 3, have you not read what David did? Then he really pinpoints here in verse 5 in a more precise manner. He says in verse 5, or have we not read in the law? Obviously, Jewish people, religious folks were focused on the law, Mosaic law. And Jesus says in verse 5, or have we not read in the law? It is almost like an insult to them.
Have you not read the law?
While the Pharisees were challenging the legality or biblicality of what Jesus and his disciples were doing on the Sabbath day in the light of God's commandments, in the light of God's law, in the light of God's word, Jesus counter-challenged them that they must return to the Bible. Hey, have you not read? Have you not read the law? You know, 10 commandments, very heart of the laws of God. He's saying, have you not read? And he also says in verse 6, the first part of verse 6 says, but I say unto you. In such a spectacular way, Jesus claimed himself as the Lord, especially the Lord of the Sabbath day. And so verse 8 says, or the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. There are two examples given to refute the claims from the Pharisees. One is about David, and the other is about the priests. Both examples may need our scrutiny, even though it will be very, very brief. David's example is given to explain the necessity of compassion for the hungry. And the following example is to explain the nature of the Sabbath. David was fleeing away from King Saul, and King Saul was trying to kill him. And so David and his few men came to the city of Nob, where Ahimelech was the priest. You can find the story from 1 Samuel chapter 21. And because they were running away from the king, and king's spies possibly, and assassins, and they were not able to make some provisions for their urgent trip. And so they were very hungry. And they needed some food to eat. And they found the showbread. Showbread was to be displayed in the tabernacle. It was given only to the priests. And once a week on the Sabbath day, new loaves of bread were supposed to be displayed. Leviticus chapter 24 verse 9 says, and it shall be Aaron's and his sons. So showbread shall be Aaron's and his sons, which means priests. And they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. So this showbread eventually was supposed to be consumed by the priests, the priestly family. And David and his men were not priests, obviously. And David was belonged to the tribe of Judah. And the priest's tribe was the tribe of Levi. Therefore, completely two different tribes we are talking about. However, this showbread was given to him and them. However, God did not punish them. Clearly, it looks like they violated such an awesome and very sacred commandment given by the Lord, as we read Leviticus chapter 24, verse 9. The Lord did not judge them. And Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. David was not punished even though he took the showbread from the tabernacle. I am the person who is greater than temple. And now, yes, my disciples took a few grains from the cornfield on the Sabbath day. And you are saying that that deserves condemnation from you? You are condemning the guiltless. That's what Jesus is saying. And then we come to the second example about the priests. Priests are working in the temple on the Sabbath day. Isn't it strange? Sabbath day, they are supposed to rest. And why they are working in the temple on the Sabbath day? In fact, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11 is very specific concerning the Lord's Day injunctions or rules or regulations. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11 says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So it is a very clear command that on the Sabbath day, no one is supposed to work whatsoever. Employers, employees, people, servants, and even the animals or the strangers are not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. But they are working. The priests are working on the Sabbath day in the temple. It means that there were higher laws for the priests. For example, Numbers chapter 28, verses 9 and 10 say this. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and 2/10 deals of flour for a meat offering mingled with water, and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, beside a continual burnt offering and his drink offering. In other words, priests were supposed to work even on the Sabbath days, even though the fourth commandment is saying that everybody should not work. They had to serve in the temple, and Jesus told the Pharisees that they needed to know the Bible. Well, then, what is the point? Well, Love is the essence of the commandments of God, as we studied a few weeks ago. Matthew 12, verse 7. Would you like to read verse 7? Let's read it together. But if he had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy, have condemned the guiltless. Amen. Jesus indicated that his hungry disciples were condemned simply because they took some grains out of the cornfield on the Sabbath day. And it's interesting to notice that Jesus says they condemned the guiltless. In other words, even though his disciples took some grains out of the cornfield on the Sabbath day, they were guiltless. Then verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. Let's read it together, shall we? And he said unto them, One man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if he fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And here we go. Animal fell into a pit on the Sabbath day. And by looking at the animal, you know that the animal is suffering and maybe in agonizing pain in the pit. And it happened on the Sabbath day. Are you going to deliver the animal out of the pit, or you are going to just leave him alone there so he will continue to suffer? Maybe he would die in the pit. Which one are you going to do it? Well, these leaders did not want to maybe answer, or they did practice to deliver those miserable animals from the pit. Then if you are so merciful and gracious to the animals, the suffering animals, then why you are not merciful to your suffering humanity, humankind, mankind, your fellow human beings? In fact, why don't you read Mark chapter 3, verse 4? Mark chapter 3, verse 4. The response from the Jewish leaders is shown here. Mark chapter 3, verse 4. Let's read it. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. I'm sure that they knew the answer, but they did not want to give him an answer by saying, yes, it is a good thing for us to do good things or to save lives even on the Sabbath days. Then they will have to justify what his disciples had done in the cornfield. So they refused to answer. They held peace. Sometimes this theological pride may rise up even to the extent to deny Jesus. I'm just wondering sometimes whether we are doing exactly the same thing in our Christian discussions and Christian beliefs. Showing mercy is always a good thing. Having compassion for the people in suffering is all good thing. Even though some people may have different convictions and different ideas, but being merciful is a good thing. If God had not been merciful to us, probably we are not here today. while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. He is the Lord of Sabbath. I think if we can recognize the principle, we may have better guidelines and principles for our Sabbath day keeping practices. The way to observe the Sabbath is by loving our God and our neighbors and showing our compassion and mercies to the neighbors. Sabbath day controversies were originated initially from the desire to keep it holy, biblically, theologically. Based on interpretations the Pharisees made, there were rules even to judge the Lord of Sabbath. Jesus told them to know the scriptures and to keep the fourth commandment in line with the purpose of God's commandment. I hope that we'll be able to set aside our prejudices and whatever the conclusions we have had in the previous times from the previous learning and so on. I hope that we'll continually we'll be able to learn the lessons from the scriptures, and we are not going to make judgments and condemnations against others with our preconceived ideas alone. Is it lawful? Is it biblical? Yes, it's a very good question. I hope that all of us will be able to raise such a good question. However, it must come with the right heart attitude and the right spirit by keeping the purpose of the Lord's commandment, love your neighbors as yourselves. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.